All right, guys. So Seth and Tony back again for Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. This is going to be episode two of our Local Legends series. First episode, obviously, was with Ryan Mikesell from the University of Dayton. So want to say a thank you to Ryan again for taking the time to do that. And then Tony, why don't you go ahead and introduce our second interview?
So our second guy we're going to be interviewing is another local guy from Wayne High School, graduate in 2015. Now plays at the University of Wisconsin on their basketball squad, and that individual is Demetric Trice. Again, 2 years athlete at Wayne, or two sport athlete, excuse me, and then went on to play a post-grad year at IMG. So we're going to talk to Demetric about his time at Wayne, being a two-sport athlete, winning state championships in both and IMG, as well as his career at Wisconsin. Unlike Ryan, Demetric still has another year of eligibility, so we'll be hopeful, we're not hopeful, but looking forward to hearing kind of what his expectations are when and if the season continues next year, depending on what the coronavirus decides to throw at us next. But yeah, we're very appreciative for Demetric, and again, I want to give a shout out again to Xander Smart, who made the connection with us so we could do this interview today. If you're high school, college, professional athlete looking for extra training or just to work on skill sets, definitely hit Xander up. He does a great job at what he does, and he's worked with a lot of great individuals so far. So with that, I think we will go ahead and dive right in.
All right, guys. So as we stated before, we've got our second interview as part of the Local Legends series that Tony and I are doing for Southwest Ohio Full Court Press, and we're very excited to have Demetric Trice on the line with us from Wayne High School as well as the University of Wisconsin. So, Demetric, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. So yeah, we're just gonna jump right in. Again, for those of you that don't know, Demetric played for Wayne High School here in Dayton. Was a two-sport athlete. Had the talent and the skill to win state championships in both football and basketball. And then continued his career at IMG Academy for a post-grad year for basketball, and ultimately landed with the Wisconsin Badgers. And has been an integral part of their team for a number of years, and just wrapped up his redshirt junior year. So, Dimitri, just jumping back to high school and kind of getting started, I guess what I kind of want to get a feel for is, as you started your high school career, obviously you had not only you had your dad as coach, but you had Travis who came ahead of you. Just talk a little bit about kind of that dynamic and, maybe some pros and cons to the whole situation, for starters.
Obviously, watching my brother play for my dad his 4 years in high school, and then he eventually graduating, and then I become a freshman. I got kind of a chance to see how things work, the do's and don'ts to having my dad as the coach, and watching how my older brother, through his failures and through his successes, I got to see how things kind of work and be around the guys, and just learn as much as I could from my older brother being coached by my dad, and then eventually it was my turn. So I kind of had a head start of having him as being my head coach. He's been my head coach since I was super young. And going back to first grade in football, I remember him being my coach, and then going through AAU and things like that. But there's definitely a lot of pros and cons to it. A lot of people don't really see that. After the game's done, a lot of players get to go home and be with their parents and don't really think about if they played well or not played well. But a con to having my dad being the coach is I still got a year for the next few days with him being around the house. And the worst was long AAU trips, and if I didn't play well on whether it was that Sunday or that Saturday, I would have those long car ride home with him next to me explaining everything when I just wanted to relax and kind of forget about it. He wouldn't let that happen. But there's definitely a lot of pros to it too, though. I get a kind of a head start on things that other players don't. My dad being one of the best coaches, and in my mind, and what somebody that I would love to play for and have as my coach. There's a lot of things that people don't see, and that's the thing that he's helped with. And he's really molded me into the guy that I am today. And all my credit to all my accolades in sports goes to him.
Cool. No, I think those of us who had parents for coaches know that it does give you a jump on you know, the situations and things, but it certainly, they're harder on us than anyone else. So certainly can relate on that level.
And I'm sure too, having your dad as a coach definitely prepared you not only for your time at IMG, but also, you know, the coaching you would get at Wisconsin as well. Talk a little bit about being a two-sport athlete, what kind of, you know, pressure you had or what type of challenges you ran into, and ultimately in your case as well, being such a star athlete in both sports, what kind of made you decide to pursue basketball instead of football?
Honestly, it came down to, well, one thing I'll say about football is I love the sport. I love everything about it, but I am not a fan of the cold weather. So I was going to follow football. It was going to have to be that somewhere down south. And the second factor that played into not playing in college was people start to get a little bit bigger in college than they are in high school, a little bit stronger, things like that. And I don't really feel like getting pounded on by 300-pound linemen tackling me and chasing me down. So I stuck with what I knew with basketball. And I have a love for basketball that I'm above any other sport. So I stuck with that. But honestly, a lot of my accolades and things that I got from football and basketball, I have to give credit to my dad. And my dad taught me pretty much everything I know in both sports. And going throughout high school, I was pretty good in both of them. And I just really played football because I loved it. My friends did it. It was something fun to me. It came kind of easy to me at times. And then basketball was just my love. So I loved playing both of those sports and getting the guys to come out and play football with me. And then when basketball season came around, it was always something that I could look forward to.
Of course. Talk just a little bit about obviously the state football championship came in your junior year before the basketball one senior year. What was that ride like, just briefly?
So both of them were actually my senior year.
Or I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. And we did not win it in football. We lost to St. Ed's in football, who was a really, really good football team. Them and Moeller were both teams that we ended up having to play. Moeller, we played in the Final Four to get to the state championship and beat them. And then we lost to St. Ed's in the championship at Ohio State. So, yeah, it was tough to lose that one, but that journey was just amazing. So that's a great way to start off my senior year, is doing that with a lot of guys that I love, with coaches I love, with it being my senior year and winning a lot of games, a lot of tough games. And there are definitely some ups and downs during the football season, but a lot more ups than downs throughout the year. But it's hard to put in words how I felt at the time. It was definitely something that I wasn't used to. A lot of notoriety from a lot of different places and things like that. But that's when I first started opening my recruitment for football, because a lot of teams kind of ruled me out not to go for football. But it was just something in my back pocket that I had, and I decided to open up my recruiting to that. And because a lot of teams knew that I was going to probably go for basketball, with me being from a basketball family. But just going to the state championship game was a dream come true, and not a lot of people can say that. And then on top of that, right after football season, the next week I'm in the basketball gym with the team, practicing and doing drills and things like that, getting ready for the basketball season. And then eventually that same year, we end up winning it in basketball.
Yeah, I was going to say, and not too long after the state championship game, you guys faced off with Findlay Prep at Flying to the Hoop.
Yeah, it was like less than a month, or just a little bit over a month. Yeah, we were playing.
I was going to say, Tony and I were both in attendance for that game, so that might still be the best high school basketball game I think I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm. Really? That was a crazy game.
That was insane. So then, you know, you guys end up finishing up that year, you know, you take your state championship run. You finished 22 in the country, let alone as number one in Ohio. And then coming out of high school, you kind of had some options whether to try to make a basketball jump collegiately first and foremost, or you ultimately took that post-grad year at IMG. Kind of, you know, if you're willing, just give us a little insight on that situation, kind of what thoughts were going through your head and why ultimately you chose to take the route you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at the end of my senior year, I knew that I wasn't physically ready to take on the role that I knew that I could get to and to the potential that I knew I could play at with how I graduated high school. I graduated at like 158.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a small guy, small guard. I hadn't had the time because of AAU, jumping right into football, jumping right into basketball, to take the time to really just work on my body and work out and perfect my craft, really. So the ultimate decision was to take a prep school year, and that kind of happened after graduation of high school in my senior year. I just sat down talking to my dad and getting a partial scholarship to go to IMG, and when we went down there, we just fell in love with the campus, the guys that were going to be around, the team that we were going to have, and it was just an opportunity to focus on school, but also really, really focus on the time that I missed out on the previous years of just working out and working on my body. And then once I graduated IMG and left IMG, I was weighing close to 170, 175,
mm-hmm.
which was a huge difference from the previous year. So it was definitely a big jump and big help.
Yeah, no, certainly.
So, and then as many people know, and some may not, when you were at IMG, you came back to Ohio to play no other than Wayne at Flying to the Hoop.
Very next year.
and in doing that, you went from playing with your dad to playing against your dad. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, what was that like?
Man, that was a totally different experience. That's the first time that I had ever played against my dad.
Uh-huh.
And I knew from the very beginning of the year, back in maybe November or September area, that my dad was trying to set that up, and I wasn't sure if that was going to actually happen or not, but it eventually did, and it went through. So the whole basketball year before the Flying to the Hoop, I knew that I was going to end up playing my dad, and it was just a weird showing, honestly, because in November I came home for a little bit, in December I came home for a little bit. It was like, I'm about to have to play you in a couple weeks, a few weeks, a couple months, whatever it was. So it was definitely a weird feeling being out there and seeing my dad on the opposite end of the coaching standpoint.
Yeah, no kidding. That had to just be weird. I'm assuming there were backroom bets and bargains made on who came out on top in that game.
Yeah, definitely. And unfortunately, my team didn't get the upper hand.
No, but that had to be fun.
Well, and then the last thing, Dimitri, about with IMG, I want to talk about before we get into your time at Wisconsin was, you know, talk to us, if you don't mind, a little more in depth on what the life was like at a prep school. You know, there's not been a lot of local players that have gone on to play prep school out of high school. So I'm curious as to like what, you know, what's a daily life like for you when you were there, and you know, what kind of did they do to really help prepare you for getting ready for your time at Wisconsin?
Yeah. So to back it up a little bit further, I think my dad did a really good job throughout high school to make it as close to like workouts and things like that that'll be in college. But IMG was just a totally different experience, and being away from home for the first time was definitely a new environment that I needed to get used to. But It was the closest thing to college that you can ever get. So I was taking online classes, or not online classes, in classes, two classes a semester. But also we were on like a strict, pretty much like a college schedule, really. So we would wake up at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. We would have a workout. Then we would go to classes. Then we would come for practice. Then after that, you would pretty much be on your own. There's no really scheduled time that you have to do anything, so you can go and work out again if you would need to. We would have scheduled lifts before practice, but other than that, it was pretty much on like a schedule of how college would treat you and treat an athlete. in the colleges today. So it was definitely something that prepared me really, really well for what I'm getting treated like at Wisconsin.
So then as we start to make that transition there, talk a little bit. I mean, ultimately you landed with Wisconsin. You know, if you're able, just share some of the other looks that you got, or even some of the, you know, some of the factors that helped you ultimately land with Wisconsin or decide to go to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. So after my IMG career, it came down to Vanderbilt, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. And at the time that all those schools had offered me and I was set on visits, I knew Wisconsin was one of the top programs in the nation. I had already had a lot of friends that were going here, Nigel Hayes, Khalil mm-hmm. Iverson, Vito Brown, all guys from Ohio mm-hmm. that I had already known previous to even Wisconsin offering me. So I knew that it was a good situation and a great academic school, and I knew that with my time, the previous point guard was going to be a senior, and I was going to come in as a freshman and play back up to him for a year, and then eventually the reins were going to be given to me. So I felt like it was a great situation all around to choose that over any other school.
Yeah. No, certainly. I mean, obviously there are hundreds of, hundreds of factors that go into that.
Sure, it helped too, as you were saying, you know, going into that, Wisconsin was just off of being in the Final Four in 2015, so I'm sure that helped a lot as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. So then transitioning into your actual time at Wisconsin, you come in freshman year, you end up coming in off the bench, but you end up being, you know, the sixth man for the Badgers, really leading the team in shooting percentage, let alone being top 10 in the Big Ten, at least from 3-point range. And then kind of going into, your sophomore year, we know you had the foot injury, but talk a little bit about, that first year as a freshman, and then, walk us through a little bit of that sophomore year, kind of what it was like to have to fight back from something like that.
So coming in as a freshman, the biggest thing for me was coming in with confidence and being around a lot of older guys. We had a lot of older seniors that had been through a lot of different things and been to Final Fours and been to Sweet 16s and to NCAA tournaments and been in those winning positions and had winning seasons. So I knew that I was going to learn a lot from those older guys and the older point guard that was ahead of me, Bronson Koenig. I knew that I was going to get all the information I needed to eventually take the reins in the next coming years. So it was definitely an exciting time, I would say. We made it to the NCAA tournament. We made it to the Big Ten championship in the tournament. And then we beat the overall number one seed, Villanova, in the tournament mm-hmm. as well to make it to Sweet 16 when we ended up losing to Florida on a last-second one-legged floater from the three-point line to end up losing. But overall, it was just a great year. Every freshman has their little dips here and there, their hills to climb, but it was definitely an overall exciting year. I learned a lot. And then moving into my sophomore year, I knew that it was going to be a totally different team, having some freshmen come in. We were going to be losing a lot of guys, and nobody was really going to have us on the radar. And we started off really, really slow. And we took a lot of bumps that I think this team that we have now needed to propel us to where we wanted to be. And eventually I ended up getting hurt, which we found on accident, actually. And I'm thankful for that. Around my 9th, 10th game of the season, I had, jammed my big toe on my right foot, and I had my doctor look at it, and he decided to take some x-rays, and when he got them back, he saw that I had a partial Jones fracture in my right, or my fifth metatarsal bone on my pinky toe, mm-hmm. and if I would have played in the next few games, probably, it would have broke all the way through, mm-hmm. and I would have been out even longer than what I really was, so we decided to shut down the season early, and that was probably the hardest part for me was first knowing that I was having to go through surgery. I didn't think I was going to be in that position. I knew that I was going to be, as a captain, as a leader, I was going to be sitting out for the rest of the season and not be able to be out there with the guys. But it was definitely an eye-opening experience from sitting on the sideline, getting a coach's point of view and coaching the guys from the sideline rather than being out there on the floor. It's a totally different experience, but I think that helped me in the long run as well.
Well, after that time sitting out with the injury, I mean, you came back redshirt sophomore year, left off where you started, you know, started all the games, ended up making all Big Ten honorable mention, second on the team with 12 points per game, you know, phenomenal three-point shooter throughout your career. And then obviously this past season, you know, Wisconsin doing pretty well. And then ultimately the coronavirus decided to show its ugly head. So,
but not before you hit 1,000 points for your career.
Sorry, say that again.
I said Tony was talking a little bit about, you know, your junior year, you come back, or your redshirt sophomore year, you come back with a vengeance. You know, you're second on the team in points per game and assists, and then this past season, your redshirt junior year, you know, you come back starting point guard again, starting all the games, you know, becoming a 1,000-point scorer in college. You know, just kind of talk us through the last couple of years here now.
Yeah. So my redshirt sophomore year, coming back, I started off on a hop, but I was shooting like 60% from the three, at one point, and I was just on a tear. And, a lot of that had to do with, we had an All-American center, Ethan Happ.
Yep.
And a lot of attention was on him a lot. So he was finding me at the right time, and we were making each other look good. And credit to our teammates, they were finding me as well, putting me in positions to be a leader and score. And I just knew the season before that, where I had hurt my foot, I didn't start off the way I wanted to. And I knew that there was a lot of work that I was going to have to put in the summer before my redshirt sophomore year to get to the point where I am at now. And just throughout that whole year, there were some ups and downs in the middle and throughout the Big Ten play, but eventually we got together and ended up having a really good season, and we ended up going to the NCAA tournament, but ended up losing to Oregon, who was a pretty good team and has been for the last few years with Peyton Pritchard on their team and whatnot. But we ended the season pretty well, pretty on the hot streak, and it definitely helped me going into this past year's season a lot. And like any other season, there's ups and downs, and there's times where you have to reevaluate yourself. But the way we ended this past season before the coronavirus kind of took everything out was amazing. We were on an 8-game win streak. Everybody was playing the best basketball at the time. There's really no limit to what we could have accomplished at this moment. We ended up winning a share of the Big Ten title outright, but where nobody had us, even in the top, they had us in like 7-8 range throughout the whole season. Mm-hmm. And we just really shocked everybody. We beat some teams in tough situations and with limited guys and on the road, and things kind of just fell in our place. And it was just an amazing time, really. And to win the Big Ten like we did was pretty special. But then once that coronavirus hit, we were upset, obviously, at the time, and because we knew we had a hot streak going. We were one of the hottest teams in the country. But going into the Big Ten tournament, we were going to be the number one seed playing against either Rutgers or Michigan, two teams that we had previously just beat. And we were definitely excited to see how the matchups were going to play out. But when we got home, even when they canceled everything, we knew everything was going to be done. School was canceled. I came back home, and I was talking to my dad. And he kind of put it in perspective for me, talking about we never know really what was going to happen. We could have went in being the hottest team in the country and lose our first game to Michigan or Rutgers and get a seed in the NCAA tournament. Still a big name talked about, as people projecting us to go pretty far. And we could end up losing our first game, first round. So we could have ended the season 0-2, Or we could have ended it how we did on an 8-game winning streak. So it can go either way, really. So you never know how things would have played out. I definitely like the simulation that they have for us when the national championship. I'll take that every day. But
yeah, no kidding.
it was definitely a great season, great end to my redshirt junior year. So I'm super excited for this redshirt senior year coming up.
Yeah, and so with that in mind, go ahead and talk to us now, since you have that one more year left with Wisconsin. What are kind of your expectations or goals for the Badgers? Obviously, Wisconsin's always, you know, a contender in the Big Ten regardless. So I'm sure winning a conference championship will be on your docket. But talk to us about what your expectations are.
Yeah, I definitely expect us to be a top 10 team throughout the whole season. Definitely not dropping out of the top 25 throughout the whole year, but pretty much starting the way we finished this past season. Coming in hot, strong, hungry. We know that there's some unfinished business left on the table, and I know we're going to be one of the top 10 or top couple seeds to be picked to win the Big Ten this year. So definitely getting the Big Ten outright will be one of our top goals, winning the Big Ten tournament and then making the NCAA tournament and eventually getting to that national championship would be our goals, pretty much our mile marks throughout the whole season. And whatever tournament we play in November for Thanksgiving, we plan on winning that as well. But we have a lot of different goals, and the coaches usually have a sit down before the season to write those out, and we revisit those throughout the whole season and places where the coaches feel fit to put it in. So there's a lot on the plate. There's a lot of expectations high expectations from the outside, but we definitely take it in from the inside, and we just listen to each other. We know that we block out the noise from the outside, no matter what the media is saying, no matter what parents and friends are saying. It's just about us on the inside. So there's going to be a lot of hype over the next season, but we know that we just got to continue to play how we know how to play, really, and that's playing strong and hard and finishing or starting the season the way we finished last year.
Yeah, well, I would say, yep. I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned from that, and that motivation, you know, that drive and that hunger. I think that'll pretty much wrap it up for what we had today for you, Dimitric. So again, we want to thank you for your time. Congratulations on a great career thus far. Again, breaking that 1,000 career point mark in that Big Ten title clinching victory at IU. So congratulations there. And best of luck to you in getting prepared for the next season upcoming. You know, we will certainly be watching with great interest, as I'm sure everyone else will be as well.
Definitely. I appreciate you guys for having me on here. And I'm excited for this next year as well.
All right. Thanks, Dimitric. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys, so that wraps up our interview with Dimitric Trice. Again, we want to say thank you to him for taking the time out of his day to talk with us, share his journey, some of his unique situations, from being a coach's kid, sharing with us a little bit about that post-grad year, and then, his continuing collegiate career. So thank you again to him. Tony, kind of like last time, give me your thoughts, your takeaways from the time that we had with Dimitric.
I mean, the kid's a winner. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind, besides the fact that he's a successful football player. Even though they won state in 2015, Wayne was still a phenomenal basketball team even before that happened. So the kid's, a winner. One thing I was hoping that potential prospects took away was when Dimitric was talking about his time at IMG. That post-grad year was still a lot of work, and it really did, as Dimitric said, prepare him for his time at Wisconsin. So if you're a prospect, don't take the prep school option for granted. It's not an easy route. If you go that route once you graduate from high school, and you want to try to either get more exposure or get better or get stronger, you know, it's going to take work. So it's not for everybody. So I'm hoping that people that maybe are considering that route or have talked about that route, you know, take it from a guy like Demetric Trice, who's a successful basketball player. I mean, hard work has got him and to this point helped him get through, you know, being coached tough by his dad, who's really is one of the best coaches, you know, in the Dayton area historically.
In Ohio.
Yeah. I mean, it's the man is a phenomenal coach, and, you know, having an older brother like Travis to follow as well, you know, Demetric is a winner first and foremost. But, you know, I really enjoyed just hearing about how he's been doing at Wisconsin. I really love hearing these local players, especially the ones that get to the high levels like the Big Ten. I mean, Big Ten's arguably one of the top conferences in college basketball. And, you know, hearing guys that are local not only make it to that stage but excel, I love hearing it. I love seeing what it does, not just for the player itself but for the Dayton area, for Ohio as a whole. So I really enjoyed hearing Demetric's takes on all that. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do next year as a senior. Wisconsin definitely finds a way to compete every year. Even when they're down years, they're still
quote-unquote down years.
Yeah. But I know. So what were your thoughts, Seth?
I took away a lot of the same things. You know, my first was being that two-sport athlete in high school. You know, even though he played football for fun and there was some interest there, you know, he really decided to, you know, taking that post-grad year really helped him focus in. And one thing he mentioned was hone his craft. You know, everybody seems to, you know, when a kid who's a junior or going into their junior year of high school, they make a jump to a prep school. You know, they get all this hype and accolade and whatnot. But the kids who take that post-grad year are almost looked down upon for it. You know, people don't see it in the same light. They think it's taking a step back as opposed to trying to move forward in their careers, in where they're at, in their growth of the game. And I think Demetric was well justified, and certainly it benefited him in the long run. Again, if you're making that jump to college and play college ball, it's going to take just as much work as another, you know, as a post-grad year. And in his case, it was, you know, the difference between, you know, some low offers and eventually winding up at a top D1 school.
And if I can say real quick, not to cut you off, but to that point you just made, yeah, end of his high school year, he had schools like Xavier and Butler that were looking at him. And those are good high major schools, but they are not like, they're not Big Ten schools yet. So to go from getting offers like that to in 1 year to getting an SEC, two Big Tens, yes, to your testament, that's, you know, that's a testament to the hard work for sure.
Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously, you know, you take away some of that grit and drive that he talked about at Wisconsin, you know, coming in similar to Ryan Mikesell at UD that we talked to last time. You know, he had early success as a freshman. He came in and was a big contributor. I mean, anytime you come in and you're leading the team in three-point shooting, you're top 10 in the Big Ten in shooting, that's about as good of a start as anybody could ask for. And then, you know, to find out, you know, with the foot situation his sophomore year, and deciding to shut down for the year, you know, that ultimately, that's not an easy decision. And to battle back from injury and get back to that same level, and in fact, a higher level than where you started out from, I mean, that takes a ton of hard work, grit, and determination, and all the credit in the world to Demetric. I mean, he's now one of the best point guards in the Big Ten. Clearly, you know, his redshirt sophomore year, he started all 34 games, is an honorable Big Ten mention. You know, same thing coming back this past season, to the point where, you know, now he's a 1,000-point scorer at a major collegiate program, D1 program. Hats off, you know, my hat off to you, Demetric, in all the hard work, you know, and the sacrifices that it takes to get to that level. And then my last takeaway is that he's not done yet.
Oh,
this is a kid, this is a team that that they're hungry. Mm-hmm. I mean, anytime you've got to walk away from an 8-game win streak to close the season and to not be able to walk away on your terms isn't easy. And I think we saw a little bit of that in, you know, his talk about the hunger for the upcoming season. You know, look for Wisconsin to be on a tear coming into the beginning of next year. That's what everybody's going to walk away from this season with, from this, you know, this coronavirus situation with. I think sports are going to come back with a vengeance, and we'll really see the metal and grit and the passion that all athletes have for their craft.
And I wouldn't be surprised too, you know, we talked about the team side of it. I wouldn't be surprised in June of 2021 when we're watching the NBA draft if you hear Demetric Trice's name called. I mean, the guy's, again, he's a winner. He's a hell of a shooter, great basketball player, great point guard. One thing we didn't even mention, in high school, his assist-to-turnover ratio was almost 4-1. I mean, the guy knows how to take care of the basketball, doesn't turn the basketball over very often. That is reflected into his college career as well. You know, he's one of the better point guards. It's actually his college, you have it right in front of me, he's currently ranks 5th in Wisconsin history with a 2-1 assist-to-turnover ratio right now.
Yep.
So
and 9th in school history in 3-point shooting, baskets made. So not only does the kid take care of the ball, he's willing to share the ball, and he can shoot the lights out.
Yeah.
That is a very good recipe for success at any level.
Yep.
So again, I think that'll wrap up this second interview of our Local Legends series. Again, thank you to Demetric Trice for taking the time out. And like Tony said last time, keep an eye out for future interviews that we're going to be posting. We've got a pretty good docket of these lined up. You know, other D1 college players, you know, some former guys who have some professional experience. Keep listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Sounds good. See you guys.